Today's April 16th of 2017. We're going to talk about Jesus' resurrection. I took it from Luke 24, 1 through 47, which is a lot. I hacked a bunch of it out for the first service, but you get the full unedited version. So what are you expecting on Easter service? A celebration? A solemnness? Maybe a repetitive accounting of that morning and that day? We did a Bible study on the Gospel of Luke this winter with Michael Card, and he had the idea that no one had any expectations of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So I took that idea and I developed all that follows. Jesus' resurrection, the women had zero expectation, the 11 had zero expectation, and Cleophas and Simon had zero expectations. So according to what the Bible said, Jesus' friends, family, loved ones were expecting nothing from Jesus after his death. They all missed the point. They all did not listen to Jesus' words. Question is, will we listen today? Will we understand all this means? Will we understand what any of this means? What are you expecting to happen today? I expected Jesus' mother Mary would have listened and understood. Jesus' mother, if anybody gets you, it's mom, but she missed it. I expected that if anyone else gets it, if anyone understood what Jesus was about to do, it'd be Mary Magdalene. Mary was always listening at Jesus' feet. She was the woman who anoints him in Matthew 26, 12. When she poured this perfume on my body, what she really did was anoint me for my burial. And I thought she got it, but she didn't. I expected those two women that were closest to Jesus would understand. Sorry to confess, I really didn't expect the guys to get it. Maybe John would. This is my prayer for us today, and later on in the Gospel of Luke, you'll see where I got it. But this is what I'm praying for us. Lord, please, Papa, please, open our minds so that we can understand the Scriptures, so that we can begin to understand the amazing thing that took place and how it impacts and affects our lives. So in Luke 24, the first 8 verses, the Gospel of Luke reads something like this. It's very early in the morning of the first day of the week. The women took spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from it. When they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Sorry to say, but the boy in me likes the next part. You got a group of women standing in a dark tomb, and they were wondering about this. Suddenly, two men clothed in bright lightning stood beside them. That would be fun to do. The women were terrified. They bowed down with their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He's risen. Remember how he told you he would rise? It was while he was still with you in Galilee. He said, 'The Son of Man must be handed over to sinful people, must be nailed to a cross, on the third day rise from the dead.'" Then the women remembered Jesus' words. So A on your outline, your first blank is the women took spices and they prepared to the tomb. Your first blank is the tomb. Why? Why did they go to the tomb? B, when the women expected to find a body. Your second blank is a body. So they went to the tomb expecting to find a dead body. Surprise. Suddenly, the two men clothed in bright lightning stood beside them. Jesus is not in the tomb. He's not there. Where is he? Jesus has risen is your blank D. He has risen. Praise God. And that is really good news for us. Then the women remembered Jesus' words with some help from the men dressed in lightning. That's cool clothes. The women believe. There's a crux of what I want from us today, to become deeper believers in the reality and the practicality of the resurrection. It's interesting that a woman was the first to lose faith in relationship with God, Eve of Eden, and now a woman is the first to receive. Have you ever thought about that? And they're both in a garden setting too. Huh. Why? Have you ever thought the first woman idea through? The Jews took a woman was the one who brought sin and death into the world very seriously. The Jewish people at that time took it very seriously. Everyone blamed women for death. It's the woman's fault that we have death. When they carried Jesus' body from the cross to the tomb, Mary, the mother, had to lead the procession. She was the one who brought death into the world. Literally, it was her fault that he died. Anytime any member of a family died, the woman had to lead the procession. They took this very seriously. So to these women, this is an amazing big deal. People in our culture say, well, the Bible's biased, doesn't have any favor at all, doesn't even record women. Heck no, the Bible puts women first place. If you read the book and think about it, God and women is an important concept in the Bible. And when we deal with our culture, it's good to know these things and be able to show people these things. God restarts where we went wrong. That's a truth I want you to take home. God restarts where we went wrong. You may be sitting here thinking like a prodigal son, it's been too long, or been too much water go under the bridge. God and I have been apart too long. It's easy to think that way when you've separated in relationship with God and you don't communicate with him and walk with him and talk with him and dance with him and celebrate with him every day. It's easy to lose touch with that. And you think, oh, it's been too long. That thinking is not true. You may have zero expectations. There's my texting for the day. But God has great plans for you of love, life, hope, joy, intimacy, forgiveness, and a close relationship, and it goes on and on. Those are just a few. Got to the bottom of the page, so I just put dots. But you may have no expectations, but Jesus had tremendous expectations for those people, and God has tremendous expectations for us in relationship with him today. God restarts where we went wrong. Wherever it was that you stopped fellowshipping, wherever it is you turned away from him and turned to sin, he's standing right there patiently waiting for you to come back. Not upset, not judgmental, not condemning, just patiently waiting in love for you to return. Now, so the 11 had no expectations. How could no one know what Jesus told them? No one. They all missed it. That's sad for Jesus. Could that be us? Could we miss it? Could this be a good thing for us? Maybe. In Luke 24, 9 through 12, it says, the women came back from the tomb. They told the 11 these things and all the others. There's more than 11 there. There's a group. Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary, mother of James, and the others with them were the ones who told the apostles. But the apostles did not believe the woman. Their words did not seem to make sense to them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and he bent over, and he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. Then Peter went away, wondering what happened. A woman came back from the tomb, and they testified to the truth. I kind of read that outline point altogether, didn't I? A, the woman, is the way I should have read it. But your blank is truth. They testified to the truth. Now, what happened? Would you believe these women's story? If a bunch of women came back, as we read John's gospel, out of breath, panting, explaining in a lot of emotion, Jesus is risen, we saw angels, that Jesus is alive, would you believe them? There's been a lot of funerals over the last 30 days. One of the guys I was talking to Friday night says, yeah, I've been wearing a black shirt to so many funerals. It was just washed and clean, so I just wore it today. And I said, oh, I wished I would have thought of that. But there's been a lot of funerals. And when you see the dead bodies, it's difficult to imagine and believe that one of those could come back to life after 3 days. But that's what I'm asking you to believe by faith. Jesus did it. Now, be on your outline. The apostles did not believe. Believe is the crux of what I want you to do today. Their words didn't make any sense to them. Do they make any sense to you? When you try to talk to people outside the church about Jesus' resurrection from the dead, expect that they'll make no sense to them. Does it make sense to you? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? Do you believe that? Peter got up and ran to the tomb. So see on your outline, one man went to seek the truth for himself. There was one seeker. Will you be the one who seeks the truth today? Usually when you give a message, there's one person that really gets it with faith to believe. Are you going to be the one? It works well for my message to just read the Gospel of Luke, but John's Gospel tells his side of the story. You didn't get this at the first service. John 21 through 9. Early in the morning, the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loves, John. Breathlessly, she said, "They took the master from the tomb and we don't know where they put him." Peter and the other disciple, John, left immediately for the tomb. Now, sorry to confess, but the boy in me loves this next part. You gotta love the competition between a young John and an old Peter. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple, John, I got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Gotta love it. Stooping and looking in, I saw the pieces of linen lying there, but I didn't go in. Peter arrived after me, entered the tomb, observed the linen cloths laying there, and the kerchief used to cover his face, not laying with the linen cloths, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Now, I can't prove this from the Bible, but I believe that one of the men dressed in lightning took the kerchief from Jesus' face, folded it up neatly, laid it aside, and said, "Master, it's time for you to get up, sir." And Jesus got up. Then the disciple, the one who had gotten there first, I went into the tomb. I saw, took a look at the evidence, and I believed. John says he was a believer at Jesus' resurrection as he saw the stuff there. No one yet from the scriptures knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. So when we look at Luke's gospel, we get Mary Magdalene believed he rose from the dead. We look at John's gospel, at least John believed Jesus rose from the dead. Now, how many here believe Jesus rose from the dead? Good. Number three, Cleophas and Simon had zero expectations. How many of you knew these two guys' names before today? In Luke 24, 13 to 47, same day, two of Jesus' followers left going to the city of Emmaus. It was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked about those things, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Maybe that's what happened to the 11. Maybe that's what happened to all the women. God did it on purpose for us. Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stood still, and their faces were sad. One of them, named Cleophas, said to Jesus, "You must be a visitor to Jerusalem." "Yeah, I'm from heaven, man." If you were there, you would have known the things that happened there in the last few days. "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet. He was powerful in what he said and what he did in the eyes of all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over and sentenced him to death. They nailed him to a cross. We had hoped that he would be the one who is going to set Israel free. Also, it's the third day since it happened. Some of the women amazed us too. Early this morning, they went to the tomb, but they didn't find the body. They came back and told us what they had seen. They saw angels who said Jesus was alive. Then some of the friends went to the tomb. They saw it empty, just as the women had said. They didn't see Jesus' body there. Jesus said to them, how foolish you are. how long it takes for you to believe all that the prophets said. Didn't Christ have to suffer these things, then receive his glory? Jesus explained to them about what was said about him in all the scriptures. He began at Moses and all the prophets. Who here would have liked to have been there for the Easter sunrise service message of Jesus and the scriptures? Oh, that would be a good one, much better than what I can do. The two men approached the village where they were going. Jesus acted like he was going further. They tried to keep him from leaving. They said, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. He joined them at the table, and he took bread. After he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were open. They realized him, recognized him. But then he disappeared from their sight. Again, the boy in me loves that part. You just get it. You just understand, and poof, Jesus is gone. Love it. They said to each other, "He talked with us on the road. He opened the scriptures to us. Weren't our hearts burning inside us during that time?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them, and they were all gathered together. Cleophas was saying, "It's true. The Lord is risen. He appeared to Simon." So we have Cleophas and Simon. He's saying, "Oh, Simon saw him." Then the two of them told what had happened on the way. They told how they recognized Jesus when he broke the bread. The disciples were still talking about this when Jesus himself suddenly stood among them. He said, "My peace be with you," or "May peace be with you," it says. The boy in me loves the sudden entrance. Sorry to say, but he loves the reaction too. They were surprised and terrified. Love it. They thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you have doubts in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It's really I. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have a body or bones, but you can see that I do." After this, Jesus said, he showed them his hands and his feet, but they still didn't believe it. They were amazed and filled with joy. Jesus asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of cooked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything written about me must happen. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must come true." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. You see where I got my prayer. This is what we need today too. We need our mind open to understand the volume of things that happen because of the resurrection, not just the act, but the impact on our lives. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer. He will rise from the dead on the third day. His followers will preach his name, and they will tell others to turn away from their sins and be forgiven. People from every nation will hear it, beginning in Jerusalem." A on your outline. But we hoped that he was the one who was going to set us free. So your blank is hoped. Do you have hope? Jesus is going to set you free. I went to a Sidewalk Prophets concert this last week, and they had a T-shirt that had hope on it. And I said, "Oh, that's a cool black T-shirt, but $20, I don't need it that bad." But I like the idea of more hope, that we'd be set free. All of us have things in our lives we struggle with. Maybe in your world it's finances. Maybe in your world it's marriage, children, grandchildren, in-laws, outlaws that we'll get together with on an Easter. But there's stuff, jobs, the world we live in. There's stuff that bugs us and we can't seem to get away from it. Jesus' resurrection can set you free from those things. Cleophas and Simon had zero expectations. They did not believe the woman's testimony of the truth that Jesus had rose from the dead. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are. How long it takes to believe all that the prophets said." Would Jesus say that of any of us here today? What would he say if Jesus himself suddenly stood among us today? As we're still talking about this, Jesus himself suddenly stood among us and said to us, "My peace be with you." He could pop in here if he wanted to. Just poof, he's right there. What would he say about us, knowing everything that's going through our minds right now? B, Jesus' expectation was to bring us peace. So hope and peace, that's what he's bringing. Peace in the midst of the tangled, troubled, difficult situations and world we live in. Will you be the one who finds his peace this Easter? It's available. What does Jesus' peace mean? Is it just a feeling like when people are doing meditation? Is it more than just that calm, peaceful feeling of when you're centered and still? Fact is, God and humans had been at war. The war started with a rebellion. Adam and Eve rebelled against God in Eden. Every time I write it, I think about Star Wars. But there was a war caused by a rebellion. Jesus had obeyed God and paid the price for peace. When we believe what the scriptures say about Jesus, we can be at peace with God. Think about that. Peace with God. Nothing wrong between the four of us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and I, all four of us are at peace together. How? Because of Jesus' resurrection. C, only two types of people will leave here today. Which one will you be? Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, how long it takes for you to believe what the prophet said." So number one is the foolish unbeliever, the one who doesn't believe the wonder of the resurrection and the glory of what it can do for your life. The believer is saying, "It's true. The Lord is risen." So number two is a believer. That person believes Jesus rose and believes that it has powerful impact for you to experience his resurrection life. The believers will testify in his name. They will tell others to turn from their sins and be forgiven. Their expectations were zero, but Jesus' expectations were they would change a messed up world. Think about it. They didn't have any expectations, but Jesus expected the whole world to change because of this morning. We live in a messed up world. I don't think any of us will disagree with that. I was thinking the other day that only in the Civil War were maybe our nation so divided. Believers in Jesus, sin-free life, sacrificial death, victorious resurrection, can live changed lives and can change the lives of others. Not just by showing them stuff in the Bible, but living a life before them that's different in the midst of the mess. Can change people's lives, can change the world. Jesus' prayer is, you will be a believer today. I love you. He wants you to know that. I'm waiting patiently for you. Please don't wait too long. He's waiting for you to come back. He wants you to be a believer. He wants you to come because of his love. He's patiently waiting, but don't wait too long. When I went past the Jewish synagogue this morning and I saw them all there gathered for the last day of Passover week celebration, I thought, it won't be long and he'll come back. And it's too late. Let's respond in faith to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning and we reach out to you as a loving Father and call you Papa, Abba, Father. And we worship you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, for your kindness that you pour out, your forgiveness you lavishly bestow on us. I want to thank you for your amazing patience with us, just humbled at how glorious and holy you are, and yet how lovingly intimate you want to be with us. This morning, we thank you that your Son rose from the dead, and you got all of these witnesses that are documented that we can have the evidence and believe. I pray we would, not just that he rose from the dead, but we would believe it'll have dramatic impact and effect on our life situation this afternoon, tomorrow, this next week. So we pray in Jesus' name, but we pray in the hope that Jesus' life, the Holy Spirit life, will become more ours because of our contemplation of your resurrection. And we ask it all in your sweet name, Lord Jesus. Amen.